Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Listen to KMOX anytime, anywhere. Download the radio.com app today.
Would you walk us through a typical day?
Burger King, Wendy's, and McDonald's.
Stop spending!
I'm president, and you're not.
This is the greatest country in the world, but we do have some really stupid people representing it from time to time.
I am proud to shut down the government. I will be the one to shut it down. I'm not going to blame you for it.
Now, Mark Reardon.
I don't think he's a smart person, but he's got a loud voice.
On St. Louis's News Radio, KMOX.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Speaking of shutting down the government, what they're going to do in California for the holidays is absolutely stunning. I tweeted this out a short time ago. We're going to get to it this afternoon. We have a lot to cover, of course, the Reardon Roundtable tomorrow. I have to mention that Kenny Wallace is going to be on the roundtable tomorrow in the 2 o'clock hour. I haven't been this excited since Ted Nugent was on the panel, and that's going to be a lot of fun. We start this afternoon. We are on short time with the Secretary of Labor for the United States, Eugene Scalia. You might recognize that name. His father was rather famous and important in this country. Secretary Scalia, how are you this afternoon?
Doing great, Mark. Good to join you.
Now, you are here in town right now?
On my way. Been making a visit in Minnesota, talking to a small business employer there, and coming down to speak to business leaders in St. Louis, and then going to be meeting with some young workers, some apprentices in an apprenticeship program there at Sire Industries.
So obviously today there was big news with the GDP numbers, and we're seeing a strong recovery in certain sectors of the economy, and that's very hopeful. I'm guessing that you're a pretty big fan of that. But you're also are you still on the coronavirus task force?
I am. And you're right, we're seeing a really very strong recovery, Mark. Great GDP numbers today, 33.1% annualized growth, which beat expectations. And it's just one of a number of economic data points over the last 2-3 weeks that points to just a very strong recovery, again, better than projected. In the employment area, back in April, May, when things were really looking bad, the Congressional Budget Office said we'd be at around 16% unemployment at the end of that third quarter, but instead we were about 7.9. So we're just coming back more quickly. Missouri's doing quite well. We're not all the way there. There's still people out. There's some industries that are particularly challenged, but we're seeing some really encouraging job growth, and that's part of what I'll be talking to folks about when I'm in St. Louis later today.
So what do you think are the biggest obstacles to moving the economy forward?
Well, I think the most important thing to moving the economy forward is remembering the policies that put us in such a great situation economically through early 2020 when the virus came. We had unemployment at a 50-year low. We had 5 million more jobs created during the last 3 years that had been predicted. And that was a result of reducing the burdens on business through tax cuts, through eliminating unnecessary regulatory burdens. That let business grow. That created jobs. That led to rising wages. We've got to remember that lesson, why the economy was so strong, the policies that brought us there, and we need to keep in place, by the way, on a national basis, but also in states and locales. In terms of the virus, we knew there was a good chance of increases as cold weather came. We are seeing that now. People are going to have to be even more careful on the measures that we've become familiar with hygiene, with distancing, in many contexts wearing masks. And so we've got to be disciplined. That said, we are making just amazing progress toward a vaccine. We've got several candidates in the last stages of testing. And, I think we are going to get more really important news about a vaccine within the next month to two. I think less than 2 months we'll know whether we have a safe and effective vaccine. As I said, we've got a number of candidates, and I'm hopeful that by the end of this year, certainly by early next year, we'll actually be able to start distributing that vaccine to those most vulnerable and then spread it out to the broader population from there.
So folks who are critical of the president and critical of the administration think that you haven't done enough as labor secretary when it comes to protecting workers' safety, in particular on the coronavirus. And they point out that, you know, if we've had some breakouts at a meat processing plant or things along those lines in this country, that that has not been investigated as much as it should be by your department or by OSHA. What would your response be to that?
The facts completely disprove that. That's a narrative that some former Obama people were trying to put out a while ago. What people see now is that, as I said all along, we've got a two-pronged strategy toward coronavirus in the workplace. Since very, very early on, actually in January, OSHA, which is part of my department, started putting out guidance to employers, workers, on how to stay safe. We put out guidance to 20 different industries and workers in those industries about safe practices to educate people on how to stay safe. And by the way, what I'm seeing is that businesses right now are more focused on worker health and safety than I've ever seen, for good reason. They need to be.
Yeah.
But secondly, in addition to that guidance, I've said from the start that we have legal authority to investigate and to bring cases against companies that aren't taking the steps that are needed to keep their workers safe. And people now see that's what's happening. We've investigated thousands of complaints, and we've now brought cases against more than 100 companies that that weren't doing what they needed to do. So, again, I think most employers understand how important it is to protect their workers. We're going to help them do it. But for those who don't do that, we have legal tools, and we are using them. And, you know, those former Obama folks who have been trying to criticize the administration have just been proved to be totally wrong about the steps that we're taking.
Well, look, yeah, I mean, I don't know any business owners that don't want to keep their employees safe, but I do hear a lot of complaints from business owners about the overburden of regulations. So I think, you know, you try to strike the balance between keeping people safe and making sure that this is not cumbersome on business owners to the point where it just gets ridiculous. And some of these rules along the way have gotten a little out of control and ridiculous.
Well, again, that's one of the reasons that the president delivered this extremely strong economy is that he took a look at and ordered all of us, the administration, to take a look at unneeded regulatory burdens and find ways to reduce them so that business could grow. And by the way, when we talk about bringing jobs back and reopening, let's remember that there are some states and locales that really have been very aggressive with shutdowns. We now see in Europe and elsewhere that that is not a long-term solution toward the virus. And we also see that some states that are really more regulatory, have a heavy regulatory foot, are having a harder time bringing back jobs. California really stands out. Their unemployment rate is 11% in California right now. Nationwide, it's 7.9. But big states like California, New York, Illinois, which really have had a hard time bringing jobs back, are going to need to take a careful look at the policies that are causing those problems. Missouri seems to be in a much better place, many other states too.
Yeah, well, I would agree with that. Listen, Labor Secretary Scalia, thank you so much for fitting us in. I wish we were under different circumstances where you could have dropped by the studio and said hi in person. I did mention your father, obviously, big fan of your dad, and I think a lot of people here were. And, you know, I spoke of him very fondly when RBG passed away a few weeks ago, because I think that friendship that they developed was very cool. And, you know, I wish we had more like it. I really do.
Yeah, it was a great friendship. And she was a wonderful friend to him and toward our whole family. I think people can learn from that. You know, they didn't agree on some really important things, but rather than, you know, cancel one another, they talked about it and they debated and refined their ideas and expressed them more effectively. And by the way, I ought to mention another person who was important to my father, Amy Coney Barrett, clerk for my father. He thought she was terrific at the time, and we're obviously very thrilled with yet another just extremely qualified Supreme Court appointment by the president.
Absolutely. Secretary Scalia, I know you're busy. Thanks so much for squeezing us in this afternoon, and good luck with everything.
a pleasure talking. Looking forward to my visit.
2:15 at the Voice of St. Louis. Yeah, that's awesome to have him on this afternoon. They kind of got to us earlier this week, and we were hoping to get him on. Obviously, I think people made the connection. The son of Antonin Scalia. All right, bunch of stuff to get to this afternoon. Congressman Davis is coming up. But look, these races between the challengers in the local congressional districts, including Rodney's district in Illinois and Wagner, the 2nd District in Missouri, these are on the line. And there's big, big questions about whether those incumbents can hold their seats. So we'll get into that here this afternoon a little bit. Also, look, I got to give some credit to the producing team this afternoon because Dave Klein and Fred Bottomer tracked down this guy that missed out on
Fred Bottomer over there, ladies and gentlemen.
The $1 million payday on the whole DraftKings thing. So he's coming up this afternoon. We'll also visit with Congressman Wagner and Linda Garofano is. This is one of those things I like to do every few months, and unfortunately, we're doing it now, and it's not getting better. She's in Rome. She's a tour director. She's been with us since the beginning of March, maybe the end of February on COVID. We check in with her from time to time. How are things in Italy right now? We'll find out later this hour on KMOX.
You're listening to The Mark Reardon Show, sponsored by Cantor Injury Law on KMOX.
All right, welcome back. Tony La Russa to the White Sox. I have these crazy California COVID restrictions for Thanksgiving and Christmas. I thought they were fake. They are not. We're joined by Congressman Rodney Davis, who, look, his seat is on the line next week, like a lot of these other Republicans. Rodney, how are you this afternoon?
I'm doing great, Mark. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing all right. As you know, I was texting Rodney some pictures of his beloved Raiders new stadium out there, and we were really hoping to hit this Chiefs-Raiders game in a couple of weeks. And I'm sure you want to take this opportunity before we get into some issues here to rub in the fact that the only loss that the Chiefs have is to the felonious Raiders.
The Vegas Raiders went into Arrowhead Stadium, into KC, and dominated. I cannot wait till I can get back in the studio, bring some Raiders garb, and make you have to wear it. But I got a feeling if in a few weeks, if KC brings back the victory, I'll be wearing Chiefs stuff and you'll be wearing Raiders stuff in the same interview. But they played a good game, man, and I was very proud of the Raiders that day, and especially enough to be able to trash you afterwards made it even more enjoyable.
All right, fair question here, Rodney Davis. We know each other pretty well, and you've been now in this seat for how long?
7.5 years.
How many terms? 7.5, so that would be
my fifth term.
Fifth term. See, I'm not good at math. The last time you you ran a couple of years ago, and this is the same opponent, if I'm not mistaken, Betsy Lonergan, you only beat her by about 2,000 votes. Is that accurate?
It is.
Okay, so now if you go 2 years later, some people I think would make the case that President Trump is more unpopular. They've tried to tag you with everything that he's done. Do you have an expectation now? I guess maybe the question would be, are you the underdog in this race?
I certainly, we're running a campaign like we're the underdog. But in the end, I think I like our strategy. I like what we're hearing at the doors from voters. And there's a lot of enthusiasm to go out and vote for Republicans. Remember, 2018 was a Democratic wave year where we saw presidential-level turnout on the Democratic side. And it hurt in districts like mine. And there were a lot of frustrated Republicans who didn't think we as Republicans in Congress did enough for the president. And they didn't go vote. But I think everybody's excited to vote. And I think that helps in districts like mine that are not suburban districts, but really rely upon the rural areas to turn out. And I'll give you an example. I voted early on Saturday in the rural county I live in. I waited 25 minutes in line because there were a lot of folks there that were registering for the first time. And that, I don't think, shows up in a lot of the activity and the polling that you see right now at the presidential level, but could impact that presidential race and impact races like mine.
I think that the healthcare issue is interesting from a variety of perspectives. It's frustrating to me. I still think Republicans need to do a better job of responding to this, you know, assertion that you don't care about pre-existing conditions. But there's a lot of, you know, doubt. I also always have to point out that pre-existing conditions are covered under federal law and have been since the mid-1990s if you don't gap your insurance for more than 63 days. But look, there's some issues in your district related to rural hospitals, and I think that's where you're trying to draw the starkest, you know, difference between yourself and this opponent, right?
Absolutely. You know, there's bipartisan support to keep pre-existing condition coverage that we have in this country right now. I want to do that. Look, it's personal to me. You know, my wife's a 21-year cancer survivor. She has a genetic form that could impact my kids. This is a personal issue. I've always said we want to protect pre-existing condition coverage, and no matter how many times my opponent says it that I don't, it doesn't make it true. And we can agree, Republicans and Democrats in Washington, on pre-X, but it's what the future of our healthcare system looks like. And the path that my opponent and Democrats want to follow are going to decimate rural hospitals in places like my district that are the front lines on getting people the care they need in an emergency situation to get stabilized, to go up to a larger facility in a more metro area and get the treatment they need. And that's not a solution to the problems that exist in our healthcare system right now, but that's the solution that Democrats like Betsy Landrigan are putting forward.
Where do you think we are, Rodney Davis, with COVID right now in this country? I have a lot of concern, you know, moving forward just because of the spiking numbers. I'm spending some time on the show this afternoon, you know, going overseas to Italy and talk about Europe. But obviously, you know, there's a stark difference also between your district in southern Illinois and what might be happening in Chicago. We had Governor Pritzker yesterday lay down some more restrictions. But look, you had COVID, so you know this very well. Do you think we're heading into a period right now that's going to be a dark winter, as Dr. Fauci and some others have indicated?
Well, I think even, you know, the scientists and medical experts last spring thought that it might increase when the weather gets cooler. And I think a lot of what we're seeing right now is that thought coming true. But in the end, you know, as you mentioned, I had COVID. I was very asymptomatic. The majority of people actually are asymptomatic like me, but it's those cases that aren't that we have to worry about. But here's the thing that I always am concerned about. You know, we're fighting a disease that no one on earth knew existed a year ago, Mark, and we never celebrate the good things that have happened in this country in fighting this disease and where we are in less than a year. Because everybody came together, we saved our economy by saving the long-term drivers of our local sales tax revenue, our small businesses, and we saw historic economic growth this quarter, which puts us in a good position when the pandemic's over to get back to historic low unemployment. We've also seen investments that we've made on a bipartisan basis in therapeutics and other medicines working to keep the hospitalization and the death rate of COVID patients down substantially from where we were in the spring. And we've invested hundreds of millions of dollars on a vaccine, working with American companies that even Dr. Fauci said should be available to our medical professionals and our most vulnerable by the end of the year. But instead of celebrating those advancements, in today's hyper-political environment, Mark, we're seeing vice presidential candidates say they might not take a vaccine because the big orange man might have had something to do with it, and that's bad.
Yeah.
That's wrong. We got to believe in what we're doing right in America instead of always trying to separate.
Well, and I think you're right about that, but you know, when it comes to COVID, I still sometimes have an issue with the message that the president is sending, and I just wonder how much of an effect that's going to have on enough voters that will make a difference in this election, whether it's in your election or whether it's in Ohio or Pennsylvania.
Yeah, the president could have done better in COVID messaging, and frankly, those are some of the issues that we continue to talk with him and his administration about. Because they've got a lot of successes. Operation Warp Speed has led us to a possible vaccine in less than a year for a disease we didn't know existed a year ago. I mean, those are things that the president ought to be talking about every day. But, you know, for whatever reason, he's not nearly as disciplined on that message as I would like and as I think a lot of Republicans would like.
Do you think there's been enough attention that has been put on from a Republican marketing standpoint on what the country could look like with a Democratic Senate, a Democrat House, and possibly a Democrat in the White House? Because that's where, you know, I don't know if you saw Jack Nicklaus has taken a whole lot of grief for an endorsement of President Trump, and his note that he wrote, I think, is very interesting when it comes to the different philosophies. But I wonder if, you know, you're probably doing this in your race, but if enough Republicans and if nationally, they're trying to do that enough.
Yeah, it's frustrating because there just seems to be a 24-hour news cycle that's focused on not addressing what a Democrat administration would look like. You know, Democrats, like my opponent, have already said they want to raise taxes. They want to put in loopholes that will benefit the ultra wealthy at the expense of middle class families and the tax cuts that they received. And we saw the huge benefit in creating an environment where American manufacturing jobs were coming back to the United States. And pre-pandemic, we were there. And the economic numbers today show us that we're on the cusp of getting back there once this pandemic's over. But all of that goes to the wayside if Democrats win and change the policies that have given us this economic opportunity. We as Republicans don't talk about that enough. You are 100% right. I try to, but it's a matter of getting our message out and also fighting some of the lies that the Democrats say about us and about Republicans nationwide.
Good luck on Election Day. You know, you were talking about the positives. I'll kind of close on this. Maybe we can have some agreement on this. One of the success stories is Major League Baseball. One of the sub-success stories is the Dodgers eliminating your Atlanta Braves in the National League Championship Series. Oh, wait, you might not agree with that.
You know, bandwagon
I was rooting for the Braves.
Fan like you.
I was rooting for the Braves, dude. I was really I think a lot of people around here might have been rooting for the Braves, but...
Yeah,
they would have to be, I think, one of the heavy favorites moving forward.
I hope so. I mean, they got a good young team, and I certainly hope the Cardinals come around next year. They eked into the playoffs, and I'm excited to see what Major League Baseball does when we can get back to the stadium. And I certainly hope we can go see a Braves-Cards game together too, buddy.
I hope so too. Congressman, thanks for joining us this afternoon. We'll talk soon. Good luck next week.
Thanks, buddy. Take care.
We're going to go to Italy next. Linda Garofano, who has been great with us, tour guide in Rome, and the lockdowns are ramping up again in Europe. So she's going to join us with that perspective and some crazy COVID rules, even by California standards, for Thanksgiving and Christmas. I thought they were fake. We'll share them before the end of the hour on KMOX.
News Radio 1120, KMOX, the voice of the Cardinals.
Well, I think I made mention of this yesterday, and maybe some of you have heard the coverage or seen the coverage. Look, they're locking down overseas again, Germany in particular, for the next month until December. And I have a feeling we're trending in that direction, depending on what happens with elections here very soon. And we've been checking in with Linda Garofano, who's a tour guide, and I feel so badly for the tour industry. I've been to Italy with KMOX listeners on a couple of occasions many years ago, and I love Italy, and Rome is fantastic, and Linda is a tour guide, and she's with us right now to talk about what's happening in her country. Linda Garofano, how are you? Welcome to KMOX on the Quiver River Electric guest line this afternoon.
Yeah, I'm fine. I'm fine. Yeah, just watching what's going on here. I mean, you're right. It's getting worse again.
Yeah, so kind of walk me through. I've seen some news coverage of Germany in particular. It looks like they're being locked down until December. I've seen some coverage about Spain. Interestingly enough, I haven't seen a lot of coverage about Italy. So what kind of shape is Rome in right now and the rest of the country? Just kind of give us an indication of where you think things are.
Okay, up until a couple of weeks ago, it seemed like cases were really rising in Spain, in France especially, and in Germany. And Italy seemed to be in much better position, but then things in the last 2 weeks changed, and we're seeing a real increase in cases. And the intensive care is not in the emergency. It used to be in March, but, that one is growing as well. So let's put it this way. We have right now a lot of... We have a sort of partial lockdown in the sense that every bar and restaurant has to close at 6 p.m. They can continue with the delivery, but most cities have to shut down for the evening. So what they have applied so far is just a partial lockdown, but there are rumors of a real and total lockdown coming up soon.
When it comes to some of the other restrictions, because I think a lot of people here might be curious, we don't have, for example, we don't even have a mask mandate in the state of Missouri where I am. We do in our county, in our local county. But, of course, the country does not have a national mask mandate. So you have that in Italy still. And are there other restrictions that you can share with us right now? When you say partial lockdown, what else would that include?
Okay, we have to wear a mask. That was always like that. We never changed that rule. So everywhere you go, you have to have a mask, and that is mandatory. In terms of restrictions, we have closed all theaters, cinemas, Gym and swimming pools. And as I said, the restaurants and bars have to close at 6 p.m. So they are still able to do lunch and to do delivery in the evening. But other than that, they have to close to the public at 6 p.m.
So when it comes to, and what about schools? Let's talk about schools, because even in Germany, I heard if they lock down the schools, is the situation with schools in Italy going well right now?
Well, the situation with schools is a partial lockdown, too, because when it comes to high schools, they are working at, I think it's a 70% right now. So they're kind of considering a sort of taking shifts. So some people are just e-schooling and some others are going to school. Instead, when it comes to kindergarten and elementary, they're going to school. They are still going
to school. Yeah, and that's very similar to what we're experiencing here in the States and certainly here where I am in St. Louis. Is there a prevailing wisdom currently, because I know it's going to catch the attention of a lot of my listeners, because you have more restrictions than we do, yet these cases are still rising. So is there a prevailing theory on why the cases, obviously, maybe people are more indoors, but what are the experts telling you as far as the reason?
Well, there is a dual point of view here. There are those who say that we are testing way more people, so the more you test, the more you find. And the other situation is that we kind of loosened up on the restrictions, especially in the past month or so. You know, we also had elections, regional elections, so that was also a huge excuse for the increase of cases. What is really worrying here is the situation with the protests. There are a lot of demonstrations, especially in Rome, Naples, and in Milan, and they come from all kind of different categories, but they started with the restaurants, of course, as soon as they were hit. And that is not helping, of course, because the more people get out and getting crowds with no social distancing, the worse it becomes for the total cases that you find out in the next 2 weeks.
Yeah, I think I'm glad you brought up the protest, because I might have forgotten to not focus on that a little bit. So explain those a little bit, and who's taking part in the protest. There are people that are in these industries that are upset with the industries being shot down. Are these just people who are upset about the lockdowns? Or what can you tell us about that?
I have to say that this is a situation that is currently bothering me quite a bit, because of course I do understand those categories like mine that are seriously affected by this pandemic. And I do understand the necessity of getting out and being heard. But I know that many of these protests have been joined by groups of people. I mean, those extremists that actually, I don't even know if they do have a reason for all of this, but the reason is just that of going against the state, against the government. I think the situation just got out of control, honestly. I do think that in the last 10 days, they probably should have prevented this by controlling the demonstrations, the permit to the permission to demonstrate a little bit, focus on that a little bit more, because I think they just lost control of it.
Yeah, well, we've had a little bit of that over here. I don't know if you've noticed over the course of the summer. Linda,
thank you.
I know. It's great. And, you know, and I think what's happening, and here's my concern, I'll just tell you, because we don't have the lockdowns and the restrictions that you have. But if we get to that point, I don't think people will really stand for it here. And you're seeing some of that right now in Italy and other parts in Europe where people are sort of rebelling. And obviously, you got some bad apples in these groups as well. And that makes things even tougher to sort of figure out. So, listen, good luck with everything. I mean, I don't want to be insensitive again to the fact that Linda is a tour guide and she depends on Americans and others coming to Rome and Italy. And hopefully we're going to get back to that, because now what's your best case scenario for something like that? Next summer?
Next summer, yeah. At this point, even the spring is gone, probably. I think spring would be too soon to think of reopening the tourist business. So, yeah, summer.
It's just sad. Everything is sad. Linda, thank you so much. Take care, all right?
Thank you. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Listening to KMOX has never been easier.
Siri, play KMOX.
All right, welcome back. I've got to, sometimes I have to keep in check on Twitter, and I've actually asked my producers, Dave, I've asked you, I said, you know, just kind of keep me in control when I see people that respond.
Oh God,
I try
what'd you
not
do
to
now?
Respond. Well, I don't think I did anything too bad, but look, I posted this story, and I'm going to go over some of this here from the California Department of Public Health, and there was a KUSI.com, which apparently might be a conservative news outlet in California. I'm not exactly sure, but I vetted this. I went to the California Department of Public Health website just to make sure it was real. So my tweet about the new guidelines, and this is a particular word that we're going to explore here in a second, guidelines, are very interesting because they're mandatory. And somebody who saw my tweet, I don't know if he's a listener or not, said it's hard to take someone seriously if they don't know the difference between a requirement and a guideline. My response was to Dr. Fauci, sure, dude, go with that, as the guy who didn't read the mandatory guidance. Mandatory is a very interesting word, and you can join along here, ladies and gentlemen. You can tell me if this is something that is mandatory or if it's just guideline. All persons planning to host or participate in a private holiday gathering must comply with the following requirements. These aren't guidelines. These are mandatory requirements. Okay, and by the way, you cannot even have Thanksgiving inside your home with family members, according to this. Now, they'll try to parse this in some way, like they did with the wear your mask at a restaurant deal. Well, we weren't just saying that. We were saying, you know, whatever they want to say in California. This is, by the way, where we're heading in this country. Should something happen next week that involves a Joe Biden, Kamala Harris ticket, or when this is over locally, Sam Page, we're locking down, just like Germany. I think everybody should anticipate that. Maybe not until January, but believe me, this is the direction. Gatherings that include more than three. And by the way, for those of you who think I'm full of it, listen to this crap from California. Because if they can do it there, they can try to do it elsewhere. Thank God we have Governor Parson. I don't think he's going to lose. Gatherings that include more than three households are prohibited. This includes everyone present, including hosts and guests. They're basically telling you how you can have Thanksgiving at your home. Gatherings that occur outdoors are significantly safer than indoor gatherings. All gatherings must be held outside. Attendees may go inside to use restrooms as long as the restrooms are frequently sanitized. This is actual language from a health department in the state of California. Gatherings may occur in an outdoor space that's covered by an umbrella, canopy, awning, roof, and other shade structures. A gathering of no more than three households is permitted in a public park or other outdoor space. So even if you have a park, it doesn't matter. You got to keep your family in check, right? For any gatherings permitted under this guidance, which clearly aren't many, the space must be large enough so that everyone at the gathering can maintain at least a 6-foot physical distance from others. Come on over, Uncle Bob, but you're going to stay outside 6 feet away from me. And by the way, you got to wear a mask at all times. That's another thing. It doesn't mean anything that you're outside. You have got to wear a mask. When gathering, face coverings must be worn in accordance with the CDPH guidance on the use of face coverings, unless an exemption is applicable. People at gatherings may remove their face coverings briefly to eat or drink as long as they stay 6 feet away from everyone outside their own household and put their face covering back on as soon as they're done with the activity. Oh, but face coverings in California can also be removed to meet urgent medical needs. For example, to use an asthma inhaler, take medication, or if feeling lightheaded. Now, this is a good thing. I'm gonna focus on this, ladies and gentlemen, just briefly. To meet urgent medical needs. Dave Klein, can you think of an urgent medical need that wasn't named in there that might be present in California along the lines of an asthma inhaler, taking medication, or feeling lightheaded? What else might be included in the description for California? Does anything come to mind?
For California?
Weed, dude.
Yeah,
weed.
That's right. That makes sense.
So here's what I would do if you're in California. Go get a vape pen or something else and then go to Thanksgiving. And if your face covering is down, just say you're taking a hit off the vape pen.
Well, that's okay.
Probably the best thing you can do. Do not sing or chant or shout. You can't do that. That increases the release of respiratory droplets and aerosols. Because of this, singing, chanting, shouting are strongly discouraged in California. But if they occur, Californians, all people should wear face coverings at all times while singing or chanting, including anyone who is leading a song or chant. Because these activities pose a very high risk of COVID-19 transmission, face coverings are essential to reduce the spread of respiratory droplets and fine aerosols. You know what's interesting about all this? We're just coming off this interview with Linda Garofano in Italy. And I think it's probably apparent to many of you. In Germany, mandatory face mask across the whole country. In Italy, same thing. In Spain, same thing. But their cases are out of control right now. They have to do all these things that people in California have to do right now. By the way, if you serve Thanksgiving dinner or anything like that, it has to be in a single-serve container. You can't even cook Thanksgiving dinner the way you want to if you live in California. Why anyone, and I mean anyone, would want to live in the state of California is beyond me. One of the few positives of climate change is that perhaps the ocean will absorb California and we'll be closer to the beach here in Missouri. That is, I think, the only hope for that state and that wackiness and Gavin Newsom and those crazies. And this is what half of your presidential ticket involves if you're a Democrat. Just remember that. Out of time. Second hour coming up.
Baseball is back. Basketball is heating up. And the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.